It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac. Take off to the great high north.
Take off. It's a beauty way to go. Take off. All right, our guy Adrian Dater joins us, and I've been dying to talk to Adrian all day. You know, Tyler, the hockey guy's
right
here. And I don't even care if I get this dude's name wrong, but Joachim Blechfeld, how am I doing? Am I close there, Dater?
You know, I don't even know myself, T-Mac. I think it's Joachim Blechfeld.
Sure, good enough.
I know there's a different name going around on Twitter what Avs fans are actually calling him.
Yeah.
We won't say it here.
I can make the guess. Okay. Just quickly before I totally destroy this guy, what level of player is he in the NHL?
He's a no-name guy who he got drafted a few years ago in the third round, and he's only played his fourth NHL game last night. So he's been one of those guys who's been in the minors for
Sharks. Trying to make a name for himself.
Yeah, that's right. This guy is reprehensible. And the NHL, now what I'm talking about was this blatant attempt to take off Nathan MacKinnon, one of the top five players, arguably the top player in the NHL's head, in what is one of the dirtiest moves I've seen. And thank God it looks like Nathan's okay. First, let me start there. How's Nathan doing?
You know, I haven't heard anything different that he's not okay. The Avs were off today, and there's always kind of a cone of silence over the team right now and in our COVID times when that happens. So I haven't had anybody tell me different today that he's not okay. Now, that doesn't mean that sometimes there's always a bit, little bit of a – sometimes there are bad surprises with the Avalanche medical-wise. So
okay.
Let's hold our breath a little bit more till tomorrow, and if I find out more, I'll let you guys know.
Right. So here's what I want to say, Adrian. For a guy who's a junkie, barely hanging on, not really nothing guy, to suspend this guy makes no sense. What you need to do, NHL, is suspend somebody who's the equivalent of the player he was trying to take out. As well as him. If not, then it's time to just get Scott Parker back on the ice or somebody like Scott Parker and beat the crap out of the other team. If the NHL isn't going to regulate things, in my opinion, then we need to go to old school hockey because the enforcers had a role. Now, I wasn't a huge fan of that, but there was a role, so that doesn't happen. And in my opinion, the NHL needs to do something significant, and I can't even believe he's. I know it was a max penalty.
Suspend somebody else besides him.
That's
somebody
right.
That didn't do it.
Well, because that's what would happen in the good old days. That if you want to come at my guy, we're going to come at your guy, and everybody knows it. But right now, because of the way the NHL is, and it's fine. The game is better without fighting, in my opinion. But if that crap is going to happen, you got to be able to do something besides just bringing back the enforcer. In my opinion, Dater, am I right?
Well, you know, I'm an Old Testament guy like you, D-Mac, but I'm older too. There's a New Testament way of hockey now, and then there's the Old Testament. I am an eye for an eye kind of guy. And, let's give the NHL a little credit here, though, D-Mac. They have tried to legislate these blindside hits out of the game. They used to be more frequent, I do believe, than they are now. They came up with a rule for this, specific hit to outlaw it, and it really did get much more, tougher on these things. But when they do happen, there's sort of no recourse on the ice anymore, it seems like, for teams to sort of get back physically,
right,
at least. Otherwise, you're sort of, A, taking a bunch of penalties and putting yourselves in the penalty box, and B, you know, the refs won't even allow it. You know, they give you all kinds of sanctions on top of that, third man in, that kind of thing. So, it's frustrating when you're a team that's always taking it like the Avalanche seems to, and nobody's doing anything about it except maybe a league flunky in New York giving a guy a two-game suspension. That doesn't feel very satisfying.
That's where I'm going.
Well, the Avs beat the crap out of them in the score, so good for them on that. And the team obviously responded well. Before the game, though, they had a players-only meeting. What went into that?
It was pretty much a garden variety team meeting, from what I'm hearing. Consistency. Hey, boys, we've got to stop you know, thinking we can just throw our sticks on the ice and win. It's not like that. We've proven that. Jared Bednar is, he wants this team to be, he wants them to think of themselves as, you know, the lunch pail gang, the harder working team. I don't know if you have top players always like to think of themselves that way or think of themselves that way. They want to think of themselves as stars and goal scorers and having fun and skill and being better than everyone. So I think there's a little bit of a tug of war there in the team identity. What is the team identity? So I think coach wants them to be a blue collar team, and the players sometimes get a little stubborn and want to be superstars. And so I think that's mostly what they talked about. They had great results last night. The question moving on here is, do they keep those lessons and be a harder working team still, or do they want to go back to being superstars? We'll see starting tomorrow night.
I'm looking for the next time they play the Sharks so they can beat the crap out of them and respond. It's not actually for a while. Look at this. I'm looking it up, man. Are we not playing the Sharks? Oh, I got it. I got it. Friday, April 30th. Somebody, Blechfeld. See, I don't even care about him because he's not even going to be on the team by then. It's got to be some other response. Man, I don't like it.
Just bring back the old days. What's wrong with you guys? Bring it back. Scott Parker was awesome.
To me, it's one way or the other, dude. It's one way or the other. So, and you know what, Avs, if you do want to win and you're having team meetings and you think you're a little too pretty, who's that grimy guy?
Well, give Nathan MacKinnon his own Marty McSorley. You know, let's go. Bring it back. I don't care.
I don't know. Do they even have a guy like that, Adrian?
Not really.
You know what? Then bring up somebody from the freaking Colorado Eagles that night and let him shine. Let him do his thing. I saw Eagles highlights the other day. They had like a 9-minute fight on the ice. It was fantastic.
You know that what happens then, D-Mac, is all the the tree huggers are going to come out and say, oh, we can't have this.
Yeah, that's so, D-Mac. You know. For the record, D-Mac's advocating for fighting right now, but for the last year, we're always fighting about getting fighting out of the game.
I am one way or the other. I'm inherently, fighting slows the game down. Guys that are in the NHL that really shouldn't be, the best part of hockey to me is speed and skating. And fighting and clogging things up like the stupid left-wing lock that the Devils did years and years and years ago is boring as crap. So let's get rid of things that slow the game down. But that being said, I know justice when I see it. And if the NHL isn't going to make a stand on something like this, the guy didn't even get thrown out of the game. I get it. Again, match penalty. I get it. But I go way back on this, Adrian. Like, I go back to the Bertuzzi hit on Moore, which to me still makes me sick to my stomach that Steve Moore's career was over and Bertuzzi still walked the earth and skated on ice again.
Yeah, well, Bertuzzi just got a DUI the other day, by the way. So I don't know if he's walking the earth as well as he was. But
well, you know what I mean.
You know what was similar, though, D-Mac, to the hit on MacKinnon last night was Steve Moore's hit on Marcus Naslin, which caused that whole thing. But it wasn't as bad as the hit on Moore never hit Naslin like MacKinnon got hit last night. This was to the head. But you're right. You know, that is, though, D-Mac, sort of how everything turned into a nightmare for hockey for a little while with the Bertuzzi thing. So I do think we need to be careful here when it comes to the, hey, let's go take off their heads kind of thing.
I agree.
Because that does lend, you know, that's how we got Steve Moore and Todd Bertuzzi in the first place. So it's a more nuanced thing. Generally, I agree that, you know, you can't be the team that just gets sand kicked in your face all the time or ice shaven in your face, as it were. You have to hit back sometimes. You have to stand up to the bully. In hockey is a game of intimidation a lot of times, and if you don't stand up to it, you can pay for it dearly on the ice and off. More specifically on the ice and the scoreboard. Look, I think the Avs are going to. I think they're aware of this. I think they're going to talk about it, and maybe we will see a guy called up. I mean, the keeper Sherwood, a guy from they got who played earlier this year, is a guy who could go out there and throw some hits around.
Okay,
Logan O'Connor can do that. But yeah, you know, the days of Scott Parker going out there and taking on the whole bench are kind of over in this league.
My man, we always appreciate it. Thank you, Adrian. And we'll read you at ColoradoHockeyNow.com.
Okay, guys.
There's our guy, Adrian Dater, on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. All right, Tyler. Just venting. I am. I'm not for fighting in hockey. I'm not. But I do recognize the culture and the code of the sport.
Right.
I mean, I get it. And there is not another sport that exists where something similar to what happened last night on the ice would happen, and that sport wouldn't have severe punishments against the perpetrator. And that's why you just don't see that very often in other sports.
Yeah, you know, most sports have got a way to police themselves one way or the other, and hockey's always had a way to police themselves. Now the referees need to be the police, and if they're not going to do it, I guess you can call someone up.
Can you imagine in football, like, somebody's going to the sideline, they're not really in the play, and the opponent goes over to him, and the player doesn't have his helmet on, and he just goes and throws an arm or a shoulder or something at his head as hard as he can? I mean, seriously, what would happen? We saw what happened. With Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph.
Is what would happen. I mean, seriously, you know what happened with Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph was definitely in an extreme situation. The majority of the time, it doesn't get to that point because the majority of the time, the referees just, they find it, they call the whistle, and they kick the guy out of the game.
Speaking of extremes, how about Vic Fangio today? My guy. We'll talk about George Payton and Vic Fangio and what they had to say. Coming up, Football at 4 is next.